这样的，我说哪一个
？Mr. Ray Young's daughter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was a brakeman.
Yeah, he was a brakeman. Mm-hmm. That's outstanding. She is an MD. Susan. He was a brakeman and his wife was a nurse. Bernice Young was a nurse. But she's an MD from Kingsville. And then I think that's something remarkable. We have Kim Scott, movie star, actress from Kingsville. And we have Henry Hodge. He's a big something officer in the service. Nothing I want to step is not from Kingsville, but he just waits on Kingsville. And we have Ms. Helen Hodge, a PhD from Kingsville. Now you see her people were not breaking, her mother was here, you know. But she married to a break. Now you can't put Benigre in because he's not from Kingsville, he's just a professor in Kingsville. I'm talking about Kingsville. You know, have produced. We have beauticians.
Let me ask you this, Miss Lucille. Did women in Kingsville back during 30 and 31 ever have any quilting clubs or knitting clubs or anything like
no,
that?
No.
Women didn't get together and knit, quilt. No. What did they do? What did black women in the community do?
Well, they worked out a lot of them. I just stayed home to work in white men's homes. Not just girls to work in a home for white people.
Did many of the women sew for their families, knit, make things, or was it all bought?
Mostly bought. And I didn't want to forget about Susan because she's the MD. Okay? She was the King High. She was in school right here in Kingsville. Now she's the MD. But then we have others just teaching them. You know, that's a good profession. But that's unusual for a woman doctor. And then they're saying from Kingsville. Helen Hodge, I said, she's Kingsville product. She had a PhD. Those about the high, can you think of anybody else?
Not right offhand. Sure can't. Let me ask you this, because it comes to mind. We had a very affluent group of people in Kingsville that was associated with the railroad. Did that group of people make a difference between, say, those families that didn't have anyone working for the railroad? Say, somebody that a man that had to support his family by cutting yards, doing odd jobs. Was there a real... You didn't have that.
We strictly had railroad people, brakemen. Railroad, it's just known as a railroad town. We didn't have nothing like that. Cutting yards.
Okay.
Now here come a young man, please.
Well, Miss Lucille, again, we're gonna stop here, but I appreciate it, and I certainly might want to come back and talk with you more if I listen to this tape and have more questions.
Come on, come on. That door's open. It's broke off. It's all broken. You can come in.
Would that be okay with you if I did that?
Uh-huh.
If I have some more questions, maybe 5-10 minutes of your time before I leave.
Yeah, you leave once.
Come back. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I hope you have good luck. You're going to school or teaching school?
Both.
Just be going in and teaching. At your age?
I'm going to turn this off. When did you first come to Kingsville?
1931.
1931. And what brought you to Kingsville?
My husband's job. He's a brakeman. He's working in the shop, and then ended up being a brakeman.
Where'd you guys move from?
Houston.
From Houston here? Are you originally from Houston?
Yeah.
You were born and raised there?
I was raised in Houston.
What about your mother and father? Where were they from?
They're from Houston. And Angleton is from the country.
Out around Angleton.
But I lived in Houston. Lived there all my life. I went to school in Houston and everything. I went to Texas Southern there, and I went to Houston. I went to all of my elementary, all school in Houston. Mm-hmm. Except this nursing, because I took it Black Humor and Del Mar, mm-hmm. and North Carpus. Mm-hmm. That was all. Mm-hmm. I've been struggling ever since.
Well, tell me, let me get this on tape for the record. What is your full name?
Lucille Sims.
Lucille Sims? Okay. Alrighty. How did your husband find out about work down here in Kingsville in 1931? How did that all come about?
He was waiting for the railroad all his life, sealed bin and everything. Mm-hmm. And then there was high breaking, I guess, then he came on down here. Mm-hmm. And started breaking. It started breaking in 1929. Mm-hmm. We married in 1931.
1929, that was the year of the Depression. Was the Depression felt here in Kingsville?
No.
You think? You got here in 1931. Were there any signs of a Depression?
I don't think it was too much. I think it took a fair, pretty good thing. Mm-hmm. They had a government program, they were PA, they worked on government programs and things. I don't think it was too bad. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, at least for me and my family, I don't know. We never been feeling a depression, not to know it.
Mm-hmm. What about if you were to compare it to what you'd left in Houston? Were there signs in Houston of the Depression? More so there than here in Kingsville?
I wasn't. At that time, I didn't know nothing. I wasn't thinking, but I was at home, you know. I didn't know anybody. Uh-huh. I had nobody a hard time. And then I married my husband, well, then he first worked in the shop. He used to sell a pack in the shop, and an engine sitting in a pack, and then he went on and got the braking. He was waiting until he died, until he got killed.
Mm-hmm. That was up in Angleton?
No, Brownville, mm-hmm. 1958. Mm-hmm. He got killed March the 4th.
How did that happen? And is it painful for you to talk about that and go back and recall that? Or?
No. They say he was on the train and fell off a train, and the train ran over. Mm-hmm. Eight tanks ran over.
Eight tanks?
Eight tanks. Ran over him. Hardly gonna kill him. They say that the railroaders, whoever, they claimed that it tried to play like it was suicide. Tried to play like he jumped off the train, but see, black people don't commit suicide. Mm-hmm. And this nigga over here, Gene, since she been grown, she checked into it. And they say that the railroad people got him to tell a lie, think he's gonna get some money. You know, to witness that, to say he did jump off the train. Mm-hmm. And then Gene said one time, Zeke got drunk. The railroad never did give me my money. See what I mean? You never see what a trick. Mm-hmm. So that's where it happened.
So what you're saying is maybe Zeke was offered money to say that your husband jumped off the train instead of
getting killed. Mm-hmm. Instead of railroad. In other words, they tried to put the responsibility on him, mm-hmm. not the railroad. Mm-hmm. That's what they did. So I remember nothing like that. So that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Did the railroad ever talk with you or about your husband's death and compensations and that type of thing? Or did they just rule it as a suicide and that was the end of that?
Yeah, they gave us a little. They didn't give us a amount that they should have. Mm-hmm. The Bible could have gotten. Mm-hmm. Because like I say, this, my husband left a lawyer here, Ross Johnson, at the Children's Guardian. And that he was a lawyer here in Kingsville. You know, he could have tied him through the roof, all I know. But Zeke was the one that they went down there, because Zeke was working with him. Mm-hmm. And they say Zeke was the one that, you know, went down and said that, he jumped off a train. It's impossible. Black people do not commit suicide. If he did, I think he figured a better way than that. Mm-hmm. I know I would if I wanted to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. We went to work that morning, I think. I guess they went to work at 8 o'clock or something like that. And I was at work, I was at school in Bishop. And they called me at 11 o'clock, so it happened between 8 and 11 o'clock. That morning. So that's it. My children, I had three. Liz was 15 years old, Liz Jane. Dickie was 4, and Jean was 5 years old. when it happened. So from that time on, we've been, still been here.
What about the the CT of A? Were they very helpful during the time that your husband had accident?
No, they didn't do it like that. They didn't do a thing but have meetings, that's all they did. Mm-hmm. They just come over here on first Monday or something, or Sunday, and they all they didn't, I don't know nothing that they did.
Mm-hmm. Were they supposed to take up issues like that? Was that a part of their charter?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Jefferson was a chairman or something for the CT, for the area road. And he was new, like a fire a black person. Well, he was the one that was supposed to intercede, mm-hmm. trying to get him back. Now, that's what they did that. Mm-hmm. Amos Hayes was the general chairman too one time, mm-hmm. and that's what their job was. I know that's one of their jobs was to try to help get them back to work. But back there, they could find them easy, but it's not easy. I don't think he can find mine easy. He's mm-hmm. a good back there.
Is Amos Hayes still living?
Oh no, that's Sam Bellhood. Mm-hmm. No, he's not still living. Mm-hmm. But I think the railroad is much better now, from what I understand. They just. If they pull you off, they're going to tell you you're off for 30 days or 90 days. Mm-hmm. Most likely, unless you do something real bad, some mm-hmm. insubordination or something like that. But back there, they just say you're fine. That's it. And you said, and they didn't have no lactate break when the railroad people now, when they get fired, they get, you know, so much money. Mm-hmm. And they got a guarantee board, the railroad has, mm-hmm. A breakman. And if my son-in-law was on the extra board and didn't get so many days, well, they guarantee break my board would pay him. Mm-hmm. They would pay him. Mm-hmm. See that advantage they have now. Mm-hmm. If they're on the extra board, they can guarantee so much money. Mm-hmm. You know, if they can't work say about 5 days and a half and can't wake them up, well, then the railroad would pay them. Mm-hmm. So far, I know about it.
Mm-hmm. I have interviewed a number of the old brakemen and their wives in Kingsville now and up in Houston. And quite a few of them have talked about the accidents out there on the railroad. They say that the railroad during that time was one of the most dangerous jobs a person could do. And the brakemen had the most dangerous job there on the railroad. Mm-hmm. And I've even had a gentleman tell me that some of those accidents that they had on the railroad were not accidents. By that, I mean, he's saying sometimes that hot-headed brakemen would get into it with the engineers, and the engineers sometimes who were Anglos would purposely see them between a boxcar and come on back anyway. Those kinds of things. Did you ever hear of any?
No, I didn't know about that. Mm-hmm. I never had any discussion or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What were the, did your husband talk much about the relationship between the Anglos and the blacks out there? Was it a good one?
Some of it was, like everything, some of it wasn't. Mm-hmm.
Did he talk much?
He was a high temper, though. He wasn't taking them. He got along all right, because he jumped on one. One conductor down in Mission. He had some kind of argument. He didn't beat him up. He did something to him. But, you know, a lot of them, people just take anything. You know, they didn't retaliate. But he was a kind of a high-tempered person. He wasn't young.
So
too much.
Your husband was. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't just sit there and take what they said.
No. Mm-hmm. But I know they had to cook on the caboose and things, and a lot of times he'd get a fuss with the conductor, because even another brakeman would be nasty in that caboose. Mm-hmm. Because that's where he had anything, you know. He would speak up, that's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. But other than that, he never said nothing much about it.
Do you think that there is any possibility that because your husband was outspoken that?
Oh no, that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. It wasn't all the time. He was, he was a master person. I mean, he just, But like I say, we thought it was all right then, you know. That's mm-hmm. all we knew, the railroad. Mm-hmm. You know, back then, it's the only kind of job. If they would have been for the railroad, they wouldn't be down here. Mm-hmm. There was no job. That's the only job, and everybody wanted to work for the railroad, get a job. But when they laid them off, I don't think they would pay them like they do now. Mm-hmm. You
know, so. And they would lay them off pretty frequently?
No, not, you know, when the business gets slow or something like that, they lay them off.
You were talking earlier before we started taping about some of the conditions for brakemen. You mentioned that they used to have some type of little camp down in Mission where they had uh-huh. bunk beds. Uh-huh. Tell me a little bit more about that.
It was discrimination, you know that. Uh-huh. And they couldn't, because my husband died in 1958, but when they were still discrimination, he couldn't. He still don't know. He didn't have the advantage that these brakemen have now. Uh-huh. Railroad people. It's like a lady in the valley in the Mission had a house, but she could put three or four bunks in the room, and then the brakeman would sleep in this one. And then when he could call out if another brakeman was coming in, he could go to bed on that bunk. Uh-huh. They couldn't go to the hotel like they can now. Uh-huh. They had to either sleep in with the girl in that kind of situation, or on the caboose. Uh-huh. That's the only way. But now, the railroad furnishes hotels. Uh-huh. When they go on job now, their hotel is reserved for them. Uh-huh. They go straight to a hotel. But back there, my husband died in 1958. They were still discriminating. Uh-huh. They had sleep they call it a bullpen, like. That's where they could be sleeping. And it wasn't sanitary at all. And they had, didn't have no sanitation or nothing. They had tin tubs, you know, where they had to take a bath. There was no shower. That part was really bad. Mm-hmm. And then, like, we go to the cafe to eat, you had to sit in the kitchen. You know, you couldn't go to the front end. Mm-hmm. You had to sit in there on a stool or something in the kitchen and eat. But now, you know what it is, man.
Was it like that from Brownsville all the way up to Houston yeah. and mm-hmm. into DeQuincy, where the railroad ran yeah. during that time?
I think so. Mm-hmm. All I know about this line there, that's where it was. Mm-hmm. They had to sleep on the caboose. Unless they might could rent a little house, so maybe they could do that, you know, stay. But you see, they would work 6 days, 5 days, 6 days a week. And then on weekend, they would come home and go back to work Monday morning. Mm-hmm. That's what they did. Uh-huh. But if they're on a seven-day job, they have to get on there all the summer, all uh-huh. the week. Uh-huh. If they're on a 5-day job or 6, they would leave the work until that time was up, and then they would come. So I'd drive the Mission, pick my husband up, and take him home, and I'd go to Brownville, and Mr. Gant, all the people, you know, they catch a ride, and I'd bring them back, and then on Monday morning, they catch their 4-day train, and they go back on the job. Uh-huh. That's the way they had to do it. But they were happy, you know, they made it.
You think many of the men enjoyed working for the railroad?
Oh, yeah, they loved it. Mm-hmm. They enjoyed it. I tell you one thing about those men was more sincere then than either or not. Mm-hmm. They were more dedicated with either or not. Mm-hmm. I don't know, because these people made more money and they had to swell their heads. I don't know what it is. But back there, honey, those railroad men, they valued their job. Mm-hmm. They appreciate being a railroad man. Mm-hmm. You know, they did. Because these people lay off. And wait for some of those people, they wouldn't hardly lay off. They were glad to go to work. Mm-hmm. They badgered their job, I think, more than these young people did. Mm-hmm. Because these young people didn't have it. They didn't have that rough time like your dad and my husband had. Mm-hmm. You take Willie had an experience. These young brakemen, Mr. Gant lived to enjoy a little bit of this, you know, freedom. A.C. Calway lived. He was breaking long enough to get a little bit. Mm-hmm. But most of them were just back there, living in that, you know, in the segregated place. Mm-hmm. But now, you take like my son-in-law, he don't know nothing about nothing like that. Because when he got hired, you know, well, it's time to change. Mm-hmm. And then since when he first got hired, they couldn't be no conductors, but now they've changed it so that white Mexican can be break much. And blacks can be conductors and engineers if they qualify. Mm-hmm. They can test. Mm-hmm. And if they pass the test, they can be it.
Did you see many Mexican Americans working mm-hmm. on the railroad?
No. Back, no mission at all.
None at all.
Not no
it
Mexican.
Was black and Anglos.
That's right. But no Mexican. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Never used to see no Mexican on the railroad. They worked in a shop like that. Because you see, there couldn't be no brakeman. And I guess the white folks kept them over the other part of the train. Mm-hmm. Because nothing but blacks were brakemen. Mm-hmm. That was really their job. There couldn't nobody be on there but a black man. Mm-hmm. But since they integrated, they all can go anywhere if they qualify. Mm-hmm. My son-in-law was a conductor. Mm-hmm. The Apple was a conductor, you know. Life was conducting. Mm-hmm. Those who wanted to be, but you take like Mr. Gannon, they see they didn't want to be no conductor. They had been a brakeman all their life. I guess they didn't want their responsibility. Mm-hmm. They were satisfied just being a brakeman. Mm-hmm. But they had a choice. They could be a conductor. Mm-hmm. If they passed the test and wanted to do it. They didn't force them to be it, but they could do it. It's optional, they could do it if they wanted to. Mm-hmm.
Was there any knowledge about Mrs. King setting the brakeman up, black brakeman up on the railroad back in 31, 32, to your knowledge? Mrs. King supposedly stipulated in one of the contracts with the railroad that blacks would be hired as brakemen on that Missouri Pacific Railroad if it was to run through Kingsville,
Texas. Yes, I heard that. Mm-hmm. I did hear that.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about it. That's all that I've heard.
That's all I've heard. I know nothing but black brakemen. I know that. Mm-hmm. He was brakeman, scared of land. He was black. Mm-hmm. There was no white man, still no Mexican. And then the women tried to be brakemen, but they couldn't. They didn't last long.
Really?
Not white women, not no other men.
Mm-hmm. When did that?
They had one or two white women. Hey, not too long. A good while ago, tried to be brakemen, tried to wait, but they couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. So that really is a man's job. Mm-hmm. Seemingly, but they didn't. But no black nobody tried to be no down there real mm-hmm. mm-hmm. So
Did the black brakeman back during that time ever talk about Mrs. King and that seemingly special place that she made for black brakeman? Was there ever any dining room talk about it or talk over coffee or about what she had done?
I know something like that. I believe they got a charter or something. The black brakeman or something. Mm-hmm. I think there was some agreement or something like that. I don't know much about that.
Mm-hmm. Did blacks ever work in other places in Kingsville other than the railroad, or was the railroad it for blacks?
Well, they worked in office up here, you know, but at the railroad, mm-hmm. as clerks.
In 31, 32? When y'all first got here?
Because Oscar Lane, Jesse Lewis was a clerk. Mm-hmm.
Jesse Lewis Cornell?
No, let me see who it is. C.D. Hodge was a clerk in the office, you know, mm-hmm. in that depot. And then they used to have what they call a call bar. Mm-hmm. Mr. I can't call that man now, but I remember Mr. Kimball was one. And they used to ride on bicycles because people had no telephone back then. Mm-hmm. And when the brakeman got called to go to work, Mr. McKenzie and Mr. Kinder, they were call boys. They rode bicycles. And when a brakeman got called, but they had to come to the house to call him. And not only brakeman, all the railroad people, they go to the house to call him. And then that's where they got their calls, but they didn't have no telephone. Mm-hmm. Then they had to call a call boy, so they cut that out. Mm-hmm. See, since they got telephones and all that stuff. And now, they tell me, they call them from, they get their calls to the telephone, get it through a place close to Houston. Some central place, they call it, but it's not like that. And they cut, you see, they close the depot up. And they close that up. Mm-hmm. And so, you see, they're hard and just a little. And the place they bought, Getting by just a little bit. So my daughter worked at the clerk for a little while, I think it did. Uh-huh. But, they closed the station up, you know, closed the shop up. Uh-huh. put it out.
Where was the meeting place for the colored trainmen?
Meeting place.
The meeting place? Where did they meet? Right across the street here, and we're on Fordyce, and I know this is Johnson.
That's right.
It's at about the
600 block
of 600 block of Johnson.
Mm-hmm. After that hall. Mm-hmm.
Roughly, when was that built? Was it there when you moved here in 31?
No, it hadn't been about 58.
So somewhere between 58 and
50-something. I said in the 50s, maybe.
Where did they meet before that?
They met. I think they met at this other hall down here. Mm-hmm.
The one that they tore down?
No, the Masonic. No. It's Masonic Hall. The one they tore down, they had two halls. Mm-hmm. The one that's still up now, I think it's right in there. Mm-hmm. Just a break from there. Mm-hmm. I think they had a meeting once a month. I'm not sure they had a meeting once a month. Mm-hmm.
Was it felt in Kingsville when the passenger train was cut off? When they stopped running passenger service? I know it was diminished at one time from day trains to just night trains. Did Kingsville start to go down after that?
I think so.
Can you remember when the shop started to go down? Was there a noticeable change then? When shop started to move out to Palestine and some of those other places?
They had to leave home and go to work. That's why the people had to go to Palestine if they wanted the job.
Mm-hmm. Following the shop?
Uh-huh. Just like in the Clerks. The Clerks closed down here, but they had an option. They could either take that $30,000, whatever they're going to pay them, and buy the senior out if they could be transferred to another place, you know, like St. Louis or another state where the railroad is waiting. But now they don't just have them at that now. They have, what's the name of the other railroad country here? SP country, I know. Mm-hmm. Union Pacific, that's what they call it. Mm-hmm. I don't think they call it Mississippi Pacific no more.
No.
They call it Union Pacific. Mm-hmm. Sure is, UP, sure mm-hmm. is. It used to be MP.
Mm-hmm. Was it hard on families having the husband having to go to Brownsville, having to go to Houston, to Vanderbilt, being away from home for sometimes a week?
Well, they got used to that. It's common. It was no problem. Mm-hmm. That's just a routine. It's a real life. You know? Mm-hmm. It was no problem.
Didn't interfere with the family structure?
No.
But I'm going to assume that the wife had to be a very strong individual to keep that family structure together while the husband was gone.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did many of the wives have any type of clubs or auxiliaries during that time to
no.
support each other?
No.
Nothing like that.
But church. Mm-hmm. Oh, they had the church. Mm-hmm. And of course, they had the church was better off than it is now because they didn't have night service at the church, but now they don't have it. I think the white church will have night service, but black don't. They mm-hmm. watch TV on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. But back there, you were the kid. Well, they had the King's Store, they had night church service. So mm-hmm. that was the biggest thing that we had to go to the church and work. Mm-hmm. Children go to school and never did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you mentioned churches, it came to mind. What were some of the churches around here during 31? Was King Star there?
King Star, yeah. Just King Star and Scott Chapel and St. Paul, those three.
Those three churches.
Yeah, now they have Friendship Baptist Church. That's another church they added. Mm-hmm. And the Peaceful Holiness. Yeah, and now they have one. Peaceful Holiness, one. St. Paul is two. King's Door is three. Friendship is four. And Scott Shepherd is five. They have five churches in the black community now. Mm-hmm. They have five churches. And then a lot of black with the Church of Christ. Mm-hmm. That's Crosstown. Mm-hmm. Some of them are members of the Church of Christ. Mm-hmm.
was the church a very integral part in the lives of blacks in Kingsville?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting. We had Miss Baker made a group that was singing every Sunday morning, 8:30, P.I.N.E.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mother Morris had a group every Monday evening. She had a group on the radio spiritual. Merle was over that. And Miss Baker was over the one in the morning, every Sunday morning, P.I.N.E. The King Star Harmonizer.
The King Star Harmonizers.
Right, that's what they go every Sunday morning. They go from 8 to 8:30. They had a program on the radio from here for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And every Monday evening, Merle had a program. I guess from 4 to 4:30. That's what they had on Monday evening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that church is a very important part of people in, you know, people.
Mm-hmm.
We look forward to the church, and it was really, you know, a part of their life, of our life, you know. And the children the same way. We brought them up, and just like, you know, your mother was in church, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
What church did your grandmother? She went to all the people. Well, the people hold the same thing. It's a prayer temple that's sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
And this, right. Now this is for the people holding the same church. Mm-hmm. Same religion, I mean.
Right.
It's not the same shit, but they turned that building down.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a nice building over here.
Do you recall the oldest church in Kingsville?
King Star
is the oldest.
Yeah, I know about it.
Mm-hmm. It was built before...
built in 1910, I believe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
1910.
Okay.
So that was the oldest church.
Have you seen much change in the community? You talked about the church being a very integral part of the community and the family structures being held together by the wives. Has that changed much?
Oh yeah, TV got that, television got that.
Mm-hmm.
And the children get sitting there watching. We used to go out BYP and even on Sunday evening, not on Sunday evening, then television on. That television are taking part. I bet you never heard of it since you coming up, did you? Never heard of it.
Why do you think that is? We didn't hear, didn't see it in the community.
Because our family, our environment, our people, their faith and their religion, faith.
Mm-hmm.
But now, most of the children, parents now, I say they're on welfare, they don't participate in no church. They look proud to go up there getting their check.
Mm-hmm.
And their children see what kind of environment they're in.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the streets most of the time. A lot of times, parents ain't no hair. Don't know where they're from.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, it wasn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's some of this crime. You know, just so much crime. Mm-hmm.
Did you? Were there a lot of drifters in and out of Kingsville during the 30s, 40s, and 50s?
I don't remember.
If a family came to Kingsville, a husband working for the railroad, they usually stayed here. They weren't here for a year and then gone.
They stayed here. Mm-hmm. They built a home and stayed here. Mm-hmm. They used to have something like a rooming house here for blacks. You know, some people could stay in. They'd take in rooms like it had been from that, but right away, everybody started building their own home. I think every black person, most of us, back there, I just had a home.
Mm-hmm.
A home not like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
These young folks don't buy no home because the government paying for the rent.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a transition right there. They don't have to work. The government got them free houses, food stamps, anything like that. They don't have a reason to build no home.
Mm-hmm.
But back there, you either built your house or you didn't have nowhere to stay. So it was a must then.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about property and property ownership, building homes, yeah. Owning their own homes. Have blacks always been able to own their own home in Kingsville?
Yeah, they had that big job. That was the best paying job, the brakeman. Mm-hmm. It looked like now we couldn't get by with that now, but back there, if you're the river man, you live good. Mm-hmm. Whatever they're paying, I don't know how much they paid salary, mm-hmm. but you're living good. And most everybody, you look around, all these houses, most the old, all the men that turn out, everybody had their own home. Mm-hmm. They built their own home. They live good, but that's a railroad job, it's a good job. Mm-hmm. It's a good job now. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with the railroad now, but it's just that these young men are not as dedicated to their jobs as the people back there, the big in the world. Mm-hmm. The big back, they love the job. Mm-hmm. But now, the way that they want, and they're just going out, they're throwing each other away. Mm-hmm. And they don't value.
What about blacks owning 200-300 acres of land around Kingsville? We talk about the small 50 by 75 lots here in the community or in the quarters.
No, they didn't have no land. Now, a lot of these. The Spanish people, they got little ranches out in the quarters, they places like that. Mm-hmm. But niggas, they don't go for that. They don't have no ranches. No.
Could blacks have bought
sure,
in that?
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they just didn't, they just wasn't able to. Mm-hmm. You could do it now, but they're not doing it. You know, many people that I don't know, Spanish people, got a little piece of track of land in Ricardo and all around. Mm-hmm. And they call it a little ranch. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't want that. That's not our. That's not, we don't like, we don't want that. Mm-hmm. All we want is to build us a big car. Pretty car. Yeah. The bigger the car, the better. Very big car, the Cadillac around it. You know, that's where they seem to be, you know. Mm-hmm. That's their value. But I guess they believe in educating the children, most of them, when they you know, try to send them to school and education.
During that period?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
How was education in the 30s for blacks in Kingsville?
Well, they didn't have no high schools. They had an elementary school, go to the 10th grade. And then if they wanted to finish high school, they had to go to Corpus Christi, Solomon Colton. Mm-hmm. All the people could send them anywhere in the other city that had a high school, they could finish. Mm-hmm. They couldn't finish in Kingsville because they couldn't go to the high school in Kingsville. They were still together. They could not go to the high school. They could not go to any college. So they had to figure the college. They had to go to Prairie View or Tillerson. Mm-hmm. She was a lot of them went to Tillerson. Mm-hmm. Wiley, not too many went to Wiley, but a lot of Tillerson used to be kind of, you know, that's the Leola, right? She was been from Tillerson. Mm-hmm. Texas Southern and Prairie View. Mm-hmm. That's the college that they had to go to. I let them go out to state, something about in Texas. Mm-hmm. But at that time, they couldn't go to ANI. Mm-hmm. Russell Hayes was the one that started the integration in Kingsville. Russell Hayes. He went out there and did something. The people, they don't believe that boy, he ain't even going out there. He don't keep going through it.
That's what the blacks were saying.
Yeah, they don't believe he ain't no people going out there. Russell Hayes, you know him. Mm-hmm. He was brave. So he's the one. Mm-hmm. And that's Cornell Ball, first black. I think it went to A&I after integrated.
Cornell, which one?
Elion Cornell.
Which one?
Elion. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What if blacks couldn't afford to send their children to Corpus?
They didn't go to school.
They stayed here. After they finished the 10th grade, they just stayed here.
Because the only time they could afford it, be like most times, they had some relatives. Mm-hmm. You know, they back in Houston, Bonanno, and Carpet. Mel Morris finished in Carpet, I know. Mm-hmm. Simon Cole, yes, it's in Simon Cole. I think Chester Caraway. I know the two there, because when they had their school reunion the other day, those two. Mm-hmm. From Kingsville, they mm-hmm. finished it's cold. Simon Cole. Mm-hmm. They had to to the city, Houston. But enough of it had a black high school, but I say it like that. Because mm-hmm. Phyllis Wheeler was predominantly black, and Jack Ace was black. Mm-hmm. I know that about that in Houston. Mm-hmm. But then you would go to Aunt Salma Colbert black. But see, it was a high school. Mm-hmm. But Hitler didn't have no high school. Mm-hmm. Only had a white high school, and they couldn't go to a white high school.
After they finished their education in Corpus or Victoria or Houston, did many of those young people come back to Kingsville?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you're right, all those people came back into Westmore. Mm-hmm. Rebecca Sherman. All those people had to go out of town after Christmas. They came back and got it. Because they were teaching, they had a black school. Mm-hmm. They had to be at the black school to teach. They couldn't teach them nowhere else. They had to be there. That's what they had to teach. Mm-hmm. And go as long as the vacants are there, they had a job. Mm-hmm. Somebody said they had high black teaching. Mm-hmm. But other than that, they couldn't teach here. Wasn't that many of them at all. Mm-hmm. They didn't have many.
Now, you've mentioned black women. What about the young black men? Did many of them go off and go to school, or did they aspire to be brakemen?
Brakemen, that's not the real role. See, now you take life from them. I don't know how Roy gets them and afraid that you're not. I don't remember how they finished. No, I don't know Roy. They came along because they integrated. Mm-hmm. And Roy and afraid that children came along. But still, they chose to be. Roy was the real role. You've answered them. One boy was just the real role. Mm-hmm. And I know the other boy, he's in California, what kind of work he's following. But most of them, they just followed the railroad. Mm-hmm. Especially if they didn't finish high school, that's what they did. Mm-hmm. Because they did that at that time. They didn't have to finish high school, but now they won't hire unless you finish high school. Mm-hmm. The railroad won't hire now without them, you know, the phone. Mm-hmm. But back then, they had to be cool if they want to, you know, be a person. Mm-hmm.
Were the schools, or I should say, was the school in the quarters, in your opinion, adequate?
Yeah.
Was the education adequate enough for?
Yeah, good teacher, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so. Mr. Burrow and Fox and the Sale, they were good. They got and Evan Andrew, they had a better foundation there, I imagine, and almost in half now. Mm-hmm. We are speaking to those teachers, they're dedicated. Mm-hmm. And they were interested. And now, they're going to this white school, if they catch it, they want to catch it if they can, you know, in a way of speaking. Mm-hmm. But back there, those children really got a foundation. Mm-hmm. Because there wasn't that many in school, and they had good teachers, and they were dedicated. Mm-hmm. And they had a good foundation. That's why it's Shirley Thompson, coaching, teaching. And, but you're talking about before the immigration. Mm-hmm. Well, they had a good foundation.
You talked a little bit about yourself going to nursing school and, after you moved to Kingsville. Tell us a little bit about that. Where did you go to nursing school? What was the experience like and your job experiences once you got back to Kingsville? Because I'm going to assume that you went to nursing school outside of Kingsville.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I taught school in Bishop for 21 years. Uh-huh. And then when they integrated, they didn't let no black teach at the white school, uh-huh. and Bishop. Uh-huh. So then I took this nursing course, which was 1 year, LBN, the Corpus Christi, uh-huh. real my father. And then I worked at my nursing home for about 20 years. Uh-huh. And I retired from my nursing home and teaching retirement. Uh-huh. That's the most I did was in the nursing home and private duty.
Was your educational experience over in Corpus a pleasurable one?
It was.
Or did
it was
you?
Interesting, it was real good.
Uh-huh. No.
Because we went to, we had 4 months of theory and 5 months of practice in the hospital. You go to school 4 months, go classes. All day long from 8 to 3 for their book, for your classes. And then from that time, after 4 months, then you had to be working in the hospital, and then you have places where you had to be living in the hospital the whole day. And you work in different departments in the hospital, pediatrics and the nursery, all the departments, except the emergency room. They didn't work at the end. Two places we didn't work that the student was the emergency room and the mental room. They didn't let us work with the mental patient. Mm-hmm. So on the seventh floor, my mother had the mental patient. Mm-hmm. We couldn't work with them. Mm-hmm. But all the other departments in the hospital, we worked. And then when you finish that 1 year classes, of course, you had to go to Austin to take a test. If you passed, then you got your license. Mm-hmm. If you didn't pass, you had to go until you do pass. But if you didn't pass on the state board, you didn't get no license. Mm-hmm. So I paid the state board. And I got my license. I keep my license active now. If I never late, I still want I renew my license because I feel like I earn them and I want to keep them. Mm-hmm. See what I mean? Mm-hmm. That I work for it.
Did you run into any prejudices or discrimination here in Kingsville Nothing? None at all?
I didn't.
Did you know of black women that did?
No, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Your sister worked at the nursing home, and the two maids at Mary, Marjorie, she worked at the nursing home together. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you ever known blacks to work on the ranch, out of the King Ranch?
Oh, no. Well, the nursing, no, not the work, no. Not the work, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were people out there that stayed on the ranch, and those people, it's something like that. I don't know how it is, but they live on the ranch. Mm-hmm. Mexican, nothing but Mexican, no. Black. Mm-hmm. And I never heard of a black out there. The only thing I heard of black, they'd be out there nursing. So I'm talking about got sick, and they have a private duty. Mm-hmm. And other than that, they didn't wait for King Ranch.
Mm-hmm. Was there ever a Klan in Kingsville that you know, Ku Klux Klan?
Never
heard anyone talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Not in Kingsville. Mm-hmm. I think the relationship with the whites and black, I think that is. You can learn to the world.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about the black businesses in 31 when you first got here. What were some of the black businesses?
Nothing but cafes.
Nothing but cafes.
They had their own cafes. Mm-hmm.
Cafes meaning eating places.
Trying to wait, but they did. The business, just cafes.
Businesses.
Cafes, nothing but the business, nothing but cafes. Mm-hmm. And later on down the line, they had grocery stores. You know, mm-hmm. Way down there, we had the Moore Brothers. You remember the Moore Brothers grocery mm-hmm. store? Mm-hmm. They had a chicken picker back down. You couldn't buy a dressed chicken. You had to buy them on foot, mostly. Mm-hmm. And Brother Moore had a chicken picker. They picked their own chicken and had a meat market. They had a real nice store. Mm-hmm. And Miss Campbell had a nice store, a grocery store, that's all. Mm-hmm. That's all the business they had. No cleaning, pressing, nothing shop, nothing. Oh, yeah, Andrews had the pressing shop.
Mm-hmm. Andrews?
And a barber shop. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had the best barber shop in South Texas. Mm-hmm. His barber shop was real, fine. And then they had a big cleaning, pressing business. And then you see those other barbers pulled out from him. They got a King barber shop. Mm-hmm. His barbers, they had a misunderstanding, so they got a barber shop of their own, King. Mm-hmm. And then his barber shop went down. Because mm-hmm. couldn't get no barbers or nothing, and then finally nothing, he got killed too. So it's just a beautiful building right down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he was a fine one then, because he used to cut the boys' club's hair free. Mm. His barber did the boys' club. Mm. He cut the hair. Mm. Nothing like that now. But back then, just cut the boys' club's hair free. Mm-hmm. Fine.
What about leaders in the community? Who were, when you got in 31, 32, who were some of the neighborhood leaders, political leaders, community leaders, organizers?
We can talk about that, though. Mm-hmm. That's all I know. Mm-hmm.
He was really the only one that would address issues as they related
to? Like he had addressed it, he had to work by himself a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's Mr. Earl Thompson was the one too. Mm-hmm.
Were blacks, in your opinion, just not interested in that area of interaction? Mm-hmm. Or were they somehow intimidated and made to feel like that was not an area that they should even be concerned with? Or
they
area?
Got that every night. They just felt like they're almost interested in what they see, you know? It's not active. It's active. No, I don't say it's not active. Mm-hmm. But it looked like to me it's not active as could be, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Did other races come into the community?
No. They just lately from the Mexican movement over here.
Mm-hmm.
Black state here, you know, the black state in this community, the Mexican state over there, and the white state, and Mexican and white people were mixed.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can live anywhere, it's like in Hawaii if you got the money.
Mm-hmm.
See, now the Mexican buying over here, they're living over here.
Mm-hmm.
And now the black living, they have a few blacks living across town, and living in white neighborhoods now. Since they got money, they can do it. It's no problem. Mac, I mean, Mac and his wife live over there, and Sherville Thompson, I know there's two blacks. Chief Jones, my daughter. Shannon, she lives in Shannon Acres back there. We've been up past by town. We've been up past by the street a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
She lives on it now. She ain't live on town.
What do you mean you better? You
because this was too much left my whites.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean that they were bothered, but it. They just didn't have no blacks in that community. She the only black up there now, in Channel Acres.
Mm-hmm.
But that other, they live in a white neighborhood, you know. I'm not saying that Channel Acres is the best place, but it's just something that, I don't know, it's exclusive what it was, but she the only black out of Channel and that section now.
Mm-hmm.
But they have them all around. They can have anywhere that they want to buy, you know. And a Mexican too, I know a Mexican lady live over there on the same street Sherwood Thompson live on. Back in honest, she couldn't do it.
Really?
No, a Mexican can live in a white neighborhood. Mexicans, they call it Mexican town, that's where they stayed.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed over here, and the white folks stayed over there.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, it's integrated, now they can live anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to.
I've heard from interviewing many people that Kingsville used to have a real reputation when it came to gambling.
Oh yeah.
Was Kingsville a gambling town?
Yeah. Your granddaddy. It was a really hole, and they used to kill a lot of people. They gamble now, but they don't kill like they used to kill.
Really?
But they were some hard gamblers. But I guess they still get my but kind of undercover. No, it's not as public as it was then.
Mm-hmm.
They had some hard gambling. It was springtime. Poor man in Spanish, they used to get him up all his living, all his money. Those are people that I heard about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really don't know, because I never was around, but I know that, yeah, they were some good. The gamblers just coming here on payday, you could see them just like a gold coming from Carver to get these people money. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The gamblers would come in just on paydays.
To get their money on the gamblers.
Mm-hmm.
But they got, you know, they got a hole back then. Brother Moore got a little shack back then, I think, the gamblers.
Mm-hmm.
And they gamble in a home now.
Mm-hmm.
These women, you know. They be playing cards, doing something, shooting poker, whatever they play, but they gamble in their home.
Mm-hmm.
But my son-in-law gambles with them, I know that. I know he's a compulsive gambler.
With that, the fact that many of these brakemen who were making good money affect the relationships with their wives when they come home after payday and not have a penny? Did wives get upset or not?
I guess they did. I didn't know much about them like that.
Mm-hmm.
Only person I've been around gambling is my son-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the fire people are upset. I guess they get used to it, you know, get to expect it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess sometimes they win, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But when they win, their wife is happy, so when they lose, I guess they're still happy too.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's all in the game, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about the relationship between the community or the quarters, as it was once referred to, and the police? Were the law enforcement agencies in Kingsville very hard on black people? In Kingsville?
You mean when? Late there?
No, back during the 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Not that I know. I ain't come in contact with nothing like that.
Mm-hmm. The you read a lot of the reports in the inner cities and the deep south. Police would go in and break down doors at night, haul people off, beat them up.
No, that didn't happen in Kingsville.
That didn't happen.
No, that didn't happen there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because we had a sheriff at Scarborough. We didn't even wear pistols, I don't think.
Huh.
I don't think they were there. They were there. I'm sure the deputy had to have them, but I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
And the Scarborough's been in office from the backyard up until here lately, until they got this Mexican man in office.
Mm-hmm.
So, from generation to generation, no, it's come on down. They've been sheriffs.
Mm-hmm. Has it made a difference moving from an Anglo to a Hispanic as a sheriff, you think?
I think so. A real good job.
You think this sheriff is doing a good job?
He's young. I think he's doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But they arrested more people look like me for this dope and stuff and things since he's been in office. I think he's doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's a younger man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about getting too old or something. And too complacent.
Mm-hmm.
But this man, you know, next time somebody coming off, they're going to be, you know, trying to show what they can do. I think it's very mistake. They're catching a whole lot of people with their dope traffic. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I read about.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're doing a good job.
Tell me, can you remember any of the old pictures that were in the theaters and the picture show when you were a young lady in Kingsville? Anything come to mind?
No. I didn't go to a picture show.
You didn't go? What about some of the old music that was played on the jukeboxes back then? Did you have a favorite piece or anything stand out?
Because I didn't run on jukebox much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Were there any family feuds in Kingsville? People got along pretty well.
I think it's worse now than it was then.
Really?
Back then, these people now are breaking up families. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's what they want to do. In fact, you know. What I mean, like these people now look like the wives quitting the husband and the husband quitting the wife for somebody else, you know, right, and they're married right on, like, you see, you know, they didn't, that wasn't common back then.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this must be this late generation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think that is. It didn't happen like that back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I know about it. People stayed and was married, they were married.
Mm-hmm.
They stayed. Mm-hmm. Just like your mother and daddy, you know, they stayed.
Mm-hmm.
You help on the other woman or another man, they like you're doing now.
Mm-hmm. What about teenage pregnancy? Did you see that back then?
Me never know.
What about back then?
No, it wasn't back then. Mm-hmm. It wasn't back then like that.
What would
like
happen?
I tell you, what happened, the children drop out of school and the welfare. Some of the children make a few more. I'm going to give me a baby so the welfare can take care of me. See, back then, they didn't have no welfare.
Mm-hmm.
They did not have welfare back then. My ma'am, my sir, you know, food stamp like they get now.
Mm-hmm.
They said, really, around a lot of young people. It's supposed to happen, but it did hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the government is just giving them too much. Just make them lazy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to wait. But they're depending that they got them. And their children, generation to generation, welfare, welfare. That's their way of living.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's their way of life. Mm-hmm. My mama on the welfare, I get me some babies, I get on the welfare, and they get some babies on the welfare, just go right on down. Mm-hmm. But back then, there was not no welfare. And so they didn't have no choice but to, you know, marry and have the children or something, you know, like that, and live right. But the government got it, missed that money. Mm-hmm. And the welfare, mm-hmm. taking the food stamps, selling them to buy dope and all that stuff.
There's a whole lot of different business. Would a family keep the daughter or the young girl in the home if she did come up pregnant back then?
Well, some of them did. Some of them were putting them out.
Putting them out? Mm-hmm. Was that to punish them?
Or? Yeah. I don't know where they're going to put them out. I just go to some of the relatives on there.
Did blacks in Kingsville raise much of their own food?
Like a garden?
Garden, cows, chickens,
no.
Pigs. Mm-hmm. You didn't see yards filled with pigs?
No.
Not in Kingsville.
Not in Kingsville. Mm-hmm. Railroads, that's all. That's all the life they lived. They didn't have no. Railroad was just it. Mm-hmm. Depended on the railroad. And they survived all right, but like they survived. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Have we ever had any problems that you know of since you've been here in Kingsville between blacks, whites, and Hispanics? Mm-hmm. Has Kingsville ever had a black mayor?
No.
Black elected?
They run. No, they never run. Mm-hmm.
What about black elected officials?
No. Yeah, nobody but Helen Hart. Black on school board. She writes all the time. They've been run for public office. But I tell you one thing about it. Back yonder, they had all white folks working in the post office. But after me now, they got all Mexican with Mexican postmaster, everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but back yonder, she don't miss. But you know, most people like to live in big cities. There's not too many people like to, young people like to live in Kingsville. Mm-hmm. People are getting to be now looking at the Navy and the pension people in the college. So, you know, you see around there, there's no incentive for no young people to want to stay in Kingsville. They get their education and they go to Dallas, most of them. Mm-hmm. Mars, Dave Mars, Darling, folks and Ferguson, all those people, they get their education too, and they go on to another, move to the big city for a job, you know, mm-hmm. in that field. Mm-hmm. All the people not on welfare, new welfare, they got to stay in Kingsville. Mm-hmm. They don't have no choice, but I mean the people get education. They go on to another place, like the Spanish man just lived next door to me. And maybe he finished, he and I. And he got an offer, and he's a civil engineer in Houston for $34,000 to start off with. Mm. So they moved into Houston, but he got a degree. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing yet to stay in Kingsville for far. No jobs, no industries here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the people live here to work, and they had to go to Corpus to work. Lois. Lois go to work for about 20 years to Corpus. Mm. And they moved her office to Houston or something. She couldn't move, but she wouldn't. Her husband was in the Navy, and they doing good here, so she couldn't give up her home to go to Houston. Mm-hmm. And follow her job. They didn't abolish her job, but the place closed, and she could find something. She, by her being having a family, she didn't go. Mm-hmm. But, most people educated, they can't stay in Kingsville. Mm-hmm. Have to go where the living is, where the job is. Mm-hmm. Well,
when did Kingsville move from dirt streets to paved streets? Oh, 60s?
Yeah. Yeah,
late
like
50s?
Much in the 60s, but my husband died in 58, and he died with David on Day Street in the rain. I had to walk my car down on the corner and walk home, but you couldn't get there. Because you got your own stuff. That's right.
You had to park it where?
I parked down there by Moore Brothers doing a corner up there.
Mm-hmm.
It was high ground or something. I couldn't bring it home.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't get sewage until about that time. We was down there. We didn't get that until
time. Until when?
About long enough.
What, 58?
Yeah, 50, because my husband put in sewage. We had in the 50s, somewhere, 50, that sanitary sewage, plumbing and all working, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people have come a long way. It's all right for the senior citizens. The welfare people in the Navy and the base, mm-hmm. and the Navy and the college, that's it.
Did the other parts of Kingsville have sewage? And
yeah.
What did you have here in the quarters? Did you have outhouses?
Uh-huh.
What about water?
Oh, we had water.
You had running water, but just didn't have sewage.
No, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.